Peter said, some of these things that Paul is saying is difficult to what? Understand. He said, but I know it's God. So I know it's God. And I know this is God. You know? So we're looking at Romans chapter 1, 6, just two verses for today, because it contains the crux of it. We couldn't even finish the two verses. We take part of it. And then the next Thursday, if I don't know if I'm teaching next Thursday or there's a minister that has a program after their program, we'll continue with the second part of these two verses. Romans 1:16. I'm reading King James Version. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let me tell you, you need to listen when we're teaching. Yesterday I heard of a pastor, and this is true. I heard a testimony of a pastor who took all their Sunday school materials, opened the window, threw them out, and said, this is not Bible. And he brought revelation of righteousness. He started teaching his people. He said, my eyes are open. This is what we should be learning. We should know Jesus. He started teaching them the truth about Christ. What Christ has done. He said, we're wasting our time looking for what we do for Jesus. He did a lot for us. So he started teaching them. And started teaching them about how God healed them. Brethren, I'm not lying. 23 years, nobody was sick in that church. Not one person. For 23 years. When you pastor a church for 23 years and nobody was sick, you are teaching them the truth. And the man said that he realized that the cross is really true, that what the Bible said is true, but that their denomination, because they didn't understand it, did not believe it, put it away, and brought them religious teaching until God opened his eyes and said, that your teaching is not my word. And the man had courage to throw it away. But the result was showing. When you pastor a church for 23 years and not one single person was sick, in fact, they say not even one person went to the hospital. You are teaching them something others don't know. The essence of all this teaching is for your own life. It's not because you come to Bible study. You're not coming here for anybody. You're coming here for yourself. When you learn these truths, you use them to fight the battles of life. They are the things that arm you. When you talk of God giving you ways of escape, this is it. These are the ways of escape that God is showing you, preparing you so that if it comes, you will know what to do. Is it that they didn't have symptoms come to them? They had, but they knew what to do and overcame those things. I mean, 23 years. 23. I had it on television. I had it from a preacher sharing this testimony. I stood there and said, oh my God, this is real. There's another Four Square pastor. I met him personally. I met him face to face. He told me this story. He said, pastor, I took all our Sunday school materials, opened the window, threw them away. He said, I brought the teaching of Christ and the gospel. And he said, the church transformed. He said, people began to get healing on themselves. And he said, then he got a television ministry. He was 70-something years old when he discovered this thing. 70-something. He himself became alive. I sat down and spoke with him, and he told me, you teach about Christ, you teach the gospel, you teach the truth. And when people understand it, they walk in freedom. He said, I proved it to be true. And then I said, we are going for one ministration. He said, I'm not going. If you want to teach me the truth, leave me alone. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth of the matter. He said, I'm not going to leave me alone. He said, I've tried all these things. They don't work. He said, the only thing that works is the truth that Jesus what? Brought the church. Quit the church is not interested in. We're looking for rituals. We're looking for all these things that is not even what Jesus came to die for. So why I'm saying this is when you come here, it pays you to make effort to understand what I'm saying. So all this praying about spirit of selling and buying and saying, it's nonsense. It doesn't exist. You make a choice to listen. There's no spirit causing you not to listen. If we're sharing dollar, where is the spirit? Huh? Spirit of buying and selling. And we people are, at this age, we believe stuff like that. Jesus was teaching them. He told them, he said, make effort to understand me. Make effort. That's what he told them. Try to what? Understand. He didn't say spirit of buying and say, no. We are at, that's part of what I was saying. We have responsibility. Your responsibility is to do what God has instructed you what? To do. Nobody can do it for you. Why is the spirit of buying and selling when you decided to come here? All those things we copy along and copy along. We don't even know whether there's any truth in them. It's fake news. If you want to prove it, at the middle of sermon, you say spirit of, tell them, okay, want to share $100 now. Everybody be awake. That spirit will what? It's your decision. If you want to, you can. Because you can do. Yes, you can. Don't blame it on spirits. There's no forget about all those things. If you are interested, you will be interested. If you are interested, you will be what? Interested. But if you are not interested, you will not be interested. Whatever you love and have interest in, you will make time for. How about these people who go to watch all this game? From morning, they stay in the stadium waiting for people who fall over themselves, over one tiny ball. From morning. And the thing that shocked me was this one was snowing, sub-zero temperature. They were there because they have interest. You see, whatever you love, you don't need prodding to do it. Once you start giving an excuse, you don't love that thing. Just forget it. Because if you love the thing, they say somebody who wants to go to somewhere, they told him that your friend is calling you, he jumps up. Because he already wanted to go. I want us to tell ourselves the truth. The book of John, 1 John, or 2 John, said, he said, my children have the love for the truth. He said, I rejoice. If you don't have love for the truth, if you are just looking for religious things to do, you will see them be snoring. In fact, the real spirit of buying and selling is you. It's you. We need to tell ourselves the truth and rise up and take responsibility and do what we are adults. Amen? We are what? Adults. My people say you don't tell an adult to come out from the sun. He knows when the sun is a bit. Why we come to church and be talking distance? You blame it on spirit. So what is your own responsibility? He who has ears to hear. So, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, 17. Romans 1, 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. 17. For therein is the righteousness of God, what? Revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So immediately we see the revelation that the Spirit of God is giving to the church is that the gospel has two major revelations right there. Number one is that it brings a man complete salvation, complete deliverance, complete saving, complete, what other word? Redemption. It saves us from something that holds us from which we cannot what? Save ourselves. Then number two, it says, then there is the revelation of the righteousness of God. This righteousness of God, the prophets wrote about it. When we come to that, you see it. Isaiah wrote about it a lot after. David wrote about it. In fact, Paul was quoting David in the book of Romans. He was quoting what David said. And the Bible said the prophets and the law are watching this thing because they said it, that this thing is going to come. This new righteousness will come. It was not there at the time, but it's coming. They prophesied that it's coming. And it was consummated in Christ. And now God is saying to the people, this righteousness the prophets were talking about is now what? Available. It's now here. Again, the church won't listen to that. They think God doesn't know what he's talking about. So, but we are focusing today on this idea that the gospel is the power of God that saves us. In another place, it says, it calls it the grace of God that bringeth what? Salvation. So it says it is the grace of God that brought us salvation. So can you talk of salvation without talking of grace when it is the grace of God that brought it to you? He didn't say it is the work of man. He says it's the grace of God that brought it. Is that Bible? Then in another place, the prophet says the mercy of God. Called it the mercy of God. He said, it is of the Lord's mercy we are what? He's still talking about salvation. He was prophesying that what will save us from being consumed by all these forces is the mercy of God. And he said, new every day is his mercy. He said, because of the Lord's mercy, we will be saved, will not be consumed. That's a prophetic statement ahead of time, talking about the grace of God that is coming to bring us salvation. And the Bible says that Jesus brought us that grace and brought us that truth. So you can't preach the gospel and you can't talk about the grace of God. Isn't it an irony that people open their Bible and read Titus chapter 2 that tells us the grace of God brought us salvation, and people turn around and speak against the grace of God? Isn't it an irony that Jesus brought us grace, and a human being who says, I'm in the body of a church of Christ, is telling people that what Jesus brought them will make them commit sin? What an affront to Jesus Christ. What an affront to the plan of God. That thing is demonic doctrine. Satanic. It's one of those fake news that the devil is spreading. It's trying to belittle the grace of God. And Paul the apostle said, whatever I am today, I am what I am by what? By the grace of God. He made me what I am. And a pastor teaching people that the grace of God make you commit sin. Really? Jesus brought it to us. Brought us destruction. If that is not demonic, what spirit is saying that? The Bible says no man talking by the Spirit of God will call Jesus accursed. You can't say Jesus is doing evil if you are talking by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. So the salvation we're talking about is not what it's what the grace of God is. It's all God. It starts from God, ends with God. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of Lamentation 3:22. Somebody read Lamentation 3:22 quickly. What did he say there? It is what? Of the Lord's mercies that we are not what? Consumed. Because his compassion fell not. This is a prophetic utterance to the time that Jesus will come with the mercy of God. Will come with the grace of God. And then Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth what? Salvation has appeared. So the Holy Spirit called Jesus the grace of God. Calls him the grace of God. And the Bible says it is by grace you are what? You are saved by grace. It is grace that saved you. It is by grace. If you are saved by something, it is that thing that saved you. We are saved by grace. Can you now preach the gospel and not talk of the grace of God? Answer me, church. Why are you afraid to answer me? I said, answer me. So let us even understand what we were saved from. What were we saved from? When we say we are saved, saved from what? Because this is where the trouble really Mabus. Because if you don't know what you are saved from, you will not experience the reality. If you don't know what you are saved from, you will not experience the reality. And the Bible warns us that we can't believe what we don't know. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse what? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not what? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not? How can you believe in what you haven't heard? I didn't say you haven't heard it before. Did you hear it with your spirit ear? How can you believe what you didn't hear? How many things have I read in the Bible I didn't even hear? How many, even the announcement we make here, how many of them do we hear? You take up Pastor Victor and say, Pastor, you didn't announce that thing. Pastor said, 10 times I announced it. But you are there watching, and even when they're announcing, you are smiling and laughing. You think you are. We don't always hear. So he's saying, how shall they believe in whom they have not what? How can you believe what you don't hear? How can? And then how shall they hear now without somebody teaching it, without a preacher? This, let's not forget that the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is putting these things down, that this is absolute truth. So that the first of all, you must hear it. In other words, he's saying you must understand it to be able to believe that this is true. And when we don't believe, we don't see. Jesus said the way to see is only what? Believe, then you will see. If you don't believe, you don't see nothing. You don't see pushing nothing. It's all the glory of God that says when you believe, you see the glory of God. You see the power of God. You see the hand of God. You see the hand of salvation. You see the hand of grace that brought you this. Again, we don't emphasize these things. We don't teach them. We focus on sin. And more sin, and more sin. And the church is not even holier. Unless you haven't been around. Unless you haven't been around. And so the Bible says that we must make sure that we don't ignore these things so that this grace of God that is given us will not be in vain. Because it can be in vain. All these things Jesus died for. You can come to Orange Fort Worth Church for 20 years and not experience it. And your life will be a normal life you would have lived even if you are not a Christian. Second Corinthians 6:1. New Living Translation says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. You see what he said? As God's partners, we what? We are begging you. We are please begging you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then do what? Ignore it. Verse 2. For God says, at just the right time, I what? I heard you. I already heard you. So you don't come crawling to me and crying to me and shouting at me. I already heard you. On the day of salvation, I what? Helped you. I already sent you the help you need. And indeed, the right time is what? Now. It's available today. What I sent you is there. The help I sent is there. I've already helped you. I've already sent it. I have. All these things I've sent to you, it says, it's all this gift of God's kindness that I've given you already. He said, don't ignore them. If you ignore them, you live without them. And then you crawl up to God and start doing 40 days dry. And God is saying, but I gave you all these things. And you ignore them. You ignore them. You won't hear about them. You are not interested in them. I don't have any other plan. God has no other plan. This is it. Praise the Lord. So are you surprised that that pastor began to teach his people what God has given them to help them, and they started to know it and receive it, and the help was working? 23 years. 23! This is not trial and luck. This is real. 23 years. Started teaching them this. God said, I helped you. In any situation, I've sent you help. I gave you gifts. Don't ignore them. Because if you do, you live without them. And I don't have another plan for you. He said, I've helped you already. I've had you. I sent help to my son, Jesus Christ. But we must hear it. He said, I'm begging you. Isn't that what I started to say at the beginning? I said, I'm begging you, people. You're coming here to learn things that will help you. Those things, the gifts God has given you. Got to know them. Got to hear them. Got to understand them. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Do you see Dr. Chibos? Do you know where he comes from? Pennsylvania. That thing is an hour, 40 minutes or something, right? And after doing this doctor's job, this young boy would drive to come here because it's important to him. I was in the dressing room. The Lord said to me, he said, do you know, if something is not important to a man, I will not give it to him. He said, these are treasures. I don't give it to people who don't value it. He said, do you give your valuable things to people who don't value it so they can use it to play? He said, people are so casual about things of God. I was using the restroom. He said, people are so casual. He said, if you prove to me it's important to you, I will give it to you. But if it's casual to you, I don't throw my pearls before what? Pigs, they will trample on it. I won't do that. I won't show you this. You are not going to see them. A young man that drives from Pennsylvania to come and, because it's important to him. And when he opens his mouth, you will know that he's hearing things. So what must we do to be saved? What must we do now? Let us even understand the basic thing, because we can assume that we understand even that basic thing, that what must we do to be what? Saved. Because some people have had all this concussion in their head about what you do to get saved. Ridiculous stuff going on. Then what must we do to be saved? We cannot assume that everybody understands this. It was a young man that came to me after Sundays. After Sunday service, he said, Pastor, do you know that it is that sometimes we assume that people know these things because we know them? I'm telling you. He said, Pastor, many people don't know this. He said, I found that out. You can know something you think everybody knows. You might assume that people know what you need to do to be saved. It may not be true. It may not be true. And you overlook these simple things, and people are stumbling over them. Why do you think we don't preach the gospel? We don't find the relevance. If you find the relevance of the gospel, you will tell somebody about it. How can you find something that works and you're not sharing it? You will tell people, this thing works. This thing works. This is what I did. 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 This thing works. So, how do we get this thing that God says, I've sent you help? How do we get it? Acts 16:30. Acts 16:30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be what? Saved. And they said, believe church, they said what? On the Lord what? Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. And so what is the only condition there? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that the whole Bible, there's no place it says you pray to be saved. There's no place the Bible says you have to pray to be saved. Because the Bible says it's not of works. It's not of what you do. It's already packaged. God said, I helped you already. It's something you receive by faith and say, yeah, it's mine. There is no verse of the Bible say, pray and be saved. You don't have to. Because God said, I've helped you already. I've sent you help. I've given it to you. So am I praying for what God said I've sent already? He said, no, it's right now. I've given it to you. So all you need to do is to believe it. That's yours. And then, come on now. And then, come on now. And then, how much prayer did they pray when Peter went to Cornelius? Whose house? Cornelius. How much prayer? Huh? Talk to me, church. They didn't even say anything. They didn't say anything. Peter realized that they were baptized, they were speaking in tongues. And Peter said, oh my God. God didn't wait for us to go through the process and even do water baptism. He said, these people have been saved like us. Because God saw their heart that they have believed what I was saying. They have believed it. And God saw they have accepted this truth. Baptized them with the Holy Spirit. They didn't wait for our process. They wait for Sunday school superintendent to say, God, wait, don't baptize them. Church, let's just follow the Bible. When Ethiopian eunuch, who was that took Ethiopian eunuch? Philip. What did Philip ask him? Do you believe now? He said, I believe, and they baptized him. He didn't say, pray after me. He said, do you believe? I believe. He baptized him. Brother, I want you to go find out the early church and the present church. The early church was following the scriptures. They were following the Holy Spirit. They were following the instructions. Very strictly. Very, very strictly. He said, do you believe that Jesus is? He said, I believe. He baptized him. Why? He said, and they said, believe what? On the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And then, when we put works in this thing, people think it's because of what they did. They think it's because of what they did. And that's a faulty thing. That person is not saved. And he joins church, and he's not saved. He is not saved because salvation is free. God has said, I have helped you already. I've sent you the help already. In the day you needed it, I gave it to you. My name is Emmanuel, an ever-present God, a God that comes when you need him. So instead of pointing to it is what God gave you as a gift and already finished on the cross, we want to interject something that looks religious. So that it will not be a hair. Yeah, merit it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I preached one time. I did a wedding. At that time, pastors will not do wedding. I was telling pastor, I said, so I was the only one. Because my senior pastor would come and say, go and do wedding for me. I said, this work I'm doing, I've never learned to say no. Just be a fool. My senior pastor will call me. Are you free on Saturday? I say, yes, I'm free. No, you say what you want. I do. I'm under you. He said, go and do wedding for you. Yes, sir. What time? This time. Okay, when this time? I'll go and do. He will sign the register because I was just a new pastor. I didn't even know whether I had license or not. I was just doing pastor. I didn't know anything. The day he called me, he said, are you licensed? I said, what is that? I said, I didn't know people have licenses. Is that what I said? I said, sir, I forgot them. I'm a pharmacist now. He said, and you are writing recommendation for people in the Bible College. I said, sir, you bring them to me. And you bring me from, I feel, I bring to you. What do I do? I don't even know. I said, license, what? I said, I didn't know. I passed off for a long time. I didn't know what license meant. I didn't even care about it. Still don't care about it. So one of those days, because I was the only one doing wedding, They were not giving an honorarium to pastors, so they were not coming to do it. So I was the scapegoat that they found. So I would do wedding until Pastor Tunde said to me, he said, "Pastor, is it only one suit you have?" I said, "What is your business?" I said, "What, Pastor Tunde, what's your business with my suit?" And to be honest with you, up to that time, I didn't really realize I had only one suit. Because it didn't matter to me. I didn't know. So he said, "Is it only one suit?" I said, "What? How are you asking this question, Pastor?" He said, "Every video, marriage video, is that your blue suit you wear, that you wear? Everybody has known it all over Lagos. That your blue, that your light blue suit." He said, "Every wedding video we've watched is you. Are you stand with it? Are you reading this thing?" I said, "Pastor, I have never taken notice. My wife will tell you I can wear one pair of shoes the whole year. I don't care about those things. The whole year, when I want to come to church, the bare shoe is the one wearing. I have no time for looking for this thing that matter to me." So in one of those services, I made an altar call. People came. And I wanted to honor the visiting pastors that came from other, you know, church, our first graduates. So I gave the most senior to come and do the leading them to the Lord. He started to ask them that they need deliverance. My heart broke. I almost wept. These are people leading people. They didn't need deliverance. Jesus already saved them. They didn't need that. That's what they came to accept. Freedom. And the man is interjecting himself. Watch what Jesus said. He said, "In the last days they will come telling you we are your Messiah. We are your deliverers." Read your Bible. He said, "They will come in my name saying we are what? Your Messiah." And the Spirit of God said in another place, he said, "They are offering you freedom where they themselves are bound." Look at their life now. The people offering you freedom. They went to my sister in London, Uchen. He said to them, "You want to pray for me?" He said, "What is wrong with my knee and God?" You know, he behaves like me a little bit. He said, "What is the problem between my knee and my God that you have to come and you have a card, giving people a card, if you don't leave my house now?" He said, "God is talking with me. You are not enemies, and I don't need you. I don't need your business card, and I'm not sponsoring you. Leave my house." And she called me, told me, I said, "My sister, yeah, that's awesome." I said, if he comes back, call Metropolitan Police for them. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What? Case closed. Romans 10:8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in their mouth and in their heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth," what? "The Lord Jesus, and shall believe again in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Verse 11. The same Romans 10:11. "For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you believe in him as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. If you accept him. I skipped 10. You love 10? Okay, we read 10 for our brother. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." John 1:12. "But as many as received him," for as many as received him, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." Even to them that what? Believe in his name. As many as receive him as their Lord and Savior, they believe in his name, that he is the Lord, he is the Son of God, who is who he sees, the Savior of the whole world, I would say they are saved. Because there's nothing a man can do Nothing a man can do to make his salvation work except accept what God has already what? Done. It's a finished deal. Understand it is a finished thing. He says, in the day of salvation, I have what? Helped. Not going to. I've sent to help. I've had you sent to help already. You receive my help. He said, don't neglect these things I've given you now. So saved from what? Number one, we're saved from the wrath of God to come. Understand that you are saved from the wrath of God. You must believe this. You must understand that this is the gospel truth. Because if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Okay, we read these things before, so let me quickly go to John 3:14. And okay, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, since I called it. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And I want you to watch the language the Holy Spirit uses when he's talking about the benefits of salvation. It's always in the past tense. Because he says, I've helped you. I've sent you help. It's always in the past tense. Always in the past tense. He said, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Delivered us, see the past tense. Which delivered us from what? The wrath to come. Delivered, already done. I sent you help to pull you out of the wrath of God to come. All right, John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have what? You see the word believe, recurring. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but has what? Everlasting life. Believe, not perish. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him again should not perish, but have. How many times did the Spirit of God repeat it? Twice. So that nobody should be confused about this thing. Twice. Then save from the power of sin, from the old nature that we have, that trapped us. God cut it off, saved us from it, gave us a new life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gave us a new life. Because the old one was a life of sin, the nature of sin. And God created us new in Christ Jesus. So we can now do the things that God planned for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. For you are God's masterpiece. For you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ. For we are his workmanship. Okay, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in... Did you notice the creation is past tense again? None of them is future. All of them is finished. Created. Delivered. Created. Created. Not going to. Created. He already did it. So why not just simply come and accept what is already done? He's not waiting for you to come and pray for him to do it. It's already done. Created. Created. Let's go back there now quickly, please. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do. So we can do. Church, so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. Because with the old nature, we can't do. So all these people that received the law of Moses can't do. Can't do. That's why the law reveals that we are sinners. Because it shows us that our nature is sinful. They can't do until they are created new and given that life so they can. But before then, they can't do. The Bible says what the law could not do, God did by sending his son. They can't do. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, made, not going to be made, being then made what? Free. Being then made free. That is verse 15, what? 16. I'm reading verse 17, 18 now. 18, 18, not 16, 18. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteousness. So you are free from slavery to sin. You're not more slaves to sin. You're not. Can I hear amen? You are not. I said you are, but do you know a lot of Christians believe they are? They believe they are no good. They are slaves. If one sister came to me Sunday, I said, Pastor, he said, you messed me up at the Living Word Conference. I said, what did I do? He said, my God. He said, the thing spun my life around. I said, what happened? Tell me how I messed you up. He said, you know, I used to pray. I would come and lift my hand. I said, Lord, you know, I'm not worthy to come here. And I'm not fit to enter. I don't merit anything, Lord. He said, that's my prayer for years. He said, after Living Word Conference, I went to him and said, God, all these things are going through the window. Now you teach me how to what? Pray afresh. And then I began to learn that when I come because of Jesus, I can make my boast in the Lord, not in me. But because of Jesus, I can come before God, trusting in him. He said, I now go saying, Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I'm coming his name. You know, he made me fit to come here. And, brethren, do you know? Were you there when he was telling me? Her countenance. And she told me, he said, the thing that we've been dealing with for a long time, he said, those people are in confusion now. That the government, that dealing with government, government is, but he said the whole of them are in total confusion. They can't find any fight, they can't find anything. He said, Pastor, wow. This thing has been harassing them for years. Brother, I'm telling you, for years. That pastor said, I threw while I was on the school, so I started teaching people what Christ has done for them. He said, see, nobody was sick. She didn't need my prayer. She had realized how to go to God, and I started working for her immediately. You could see her joy. And then she shared testimony about the sister that came to this church with the husband. And the husband said, we are relocating from Pennsylvania to New Jersey. Am I telling that? You were there. He said, we need to be in this church. And like Joe, he said, they are packing and they are coming. And they are not even Nigerians. I'm not kidding. He said, they sat here and said, wow, we are relocating. We need this. Praise the Lord. You see what God is doing? Where once you begin to, God begins to be given opportunity to show people all he paid the price to give them, he start bringing them to hear it. Come and hear it. He wants them to hear it. So we are free from sin. Can I hear amen? We are not slaves of sin. You are not. I'm not. We are sons of God. How can a son be a slave? Explain it to me, Pastor. I'm a son of God. And then you turn around and tell me that the son of the Most High is a slave of another thing. We are not slaves, brethren. If the son shall set you free, free indeed. You say, Pastor, but how about the sin I commit? We will come to that. Then you understand why these things happen. It boils down to ignorance. You won't hear. The Bible said, don't keep this thing apart. If you do, you'll be living your life for ordinary people. Because they are the things that distinguish you. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible said, we must be born again. Jesus said, we must what? Be born again. Let me show you why that transition is a must. It's a must. Because look at the old nature that we had. That which is born of the flesh. Look at him. Let's describe him. The one that is born of flesh. Let us describe him. Let's look at him. Ephesians 2 from verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience. You were dead. You didn't have life. Separated from God. because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin. He said you used to. Now you live in Christ, not in sin. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Yeah. Verse 3. Now he said, all of us used to live like that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone. That's the natural man born of the flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And flesh profited what? That's the man. That's the way we are born. We are born in Adam. And in Adam, all die. Because we don't have God. That's the nature. The natural nature we have. Born of the flesh. Now my question is, how can this man with this nature do what God wants him to do? Huh? How can he do what God wants him to do? By nature. The Bible says by nature, he's a child of wrath. In fact, by nature, his middle name is rebellion. First name, rebellion. Last name is rebellion. That's his name. So Jesus said, you must be born. That nature must change. Must, not whether or may. No, you say must. You can't come to the kingdom of God in that nature. It must go. So when you hear you're born again, you must understand the huge thing happened for which you'll be grateful to God forever. Don't toy with that. Praise the Lord. Now Ephesians 2:4 tells us the new chain that we have. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united now with Christ. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible worth of his grace. You see the word grace repeating? Incredible worth of his grace and kindness towards us are shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace. Again, when you believed, and it is by his grace. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can now do the things he planned for us to do. In Ephesians 4:24, put on the new nature, created to be like God. Truly, we're afraid to say this one. Truly, and what? Can we read it together, everybody? Let's go. Put on the new nature. So you see that nature we read about, that's by nature a child of wrath, has been taken away, and God gave you a new nature. And that's why you are born again. Gave you a new nature that is truly has the image of God. I mean, has the nature of God in it. So you don't have two natures. You are not a spiritual hermaphrodite. You are not a spiritual what? Do you know what hermaphrodite is? What is it? Huh? Having two nature. That is called it's a monster. Tell your neighbor you are not a monster. You have one nature, and that nature you have is truly created to be like what? Like Christ. You are joined to him. Don't forget, and become one spirit, not two. One spirit with him. Now, I want to show you some other reasons why we must be born again. Listen to me. The fruit of the Spirit that was supposed to bear is the nature of God described. The fruit of spirit that was supposed to bear is simply a description of the nature of who? Of God. The character of God. That's what it is. And I want to ask you a question. Can you bear that fruit if you are not a branch of the tree that has that life? I'm asking. You don't get the question. Unless you are a branch of the true vine. And who is the true vine? You can't bear the fruit of the true vine. It's not possible. It's impossible. You can't do that. It's just like saying, this is mango. You can bear papa. That's what Jesus is saying now. He said, I'm the true vine. And if you abide in me, you bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit of this particular tree. The true vine, the Lord Jesus. You can't not. It's impossible unless you become part of his body. And that happened when you were born again. You were joined to him. You became one spirit. You became part of the body of Christ. Being part of this body now, become a branch. And Jesus said, you can now can produce those fruit of the spirit because you are attached to him. He said, the same way a branch cannot bear fruit on you, so you can't. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Huh? Okay. So, if you are not born again, it means you still have the nature you have is the wild vine. And that wild vine cannot bear the fruit of the true vine. So, the only way you can bear the fruit of the true vine is to come out from this wild vine thing and take on the nature of the new vine and attach to it and become part of the body of Christ. When you came to Christ, you were joined to him and you became one spirit. We don't hear these things. We don't believe them. And they don't work. The Bible says, how can you believe what you don't know? And Jesus said, only believe and you shall what? See the reality. It's not hard. It's not difficult. And again, understand that a man that is not in Christ is in Adam. Am I right? Huh? What made us unrighteous is the sin of Adam. So any man who has not come into Christ remains under the influence and effect of the sin of Adam. Any man. So it doesn't matter how good you are, how wonderful you are, unless you come into Christ, you are a sinner, an unrighteous person, and you are going to hell. You are going, exit. I don't know if you get my point. Look at it, Romans 5:12. Romans, what? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed over all men, for that all have what? By one man sin came. And through that one sin, every man became a sinner. So if you don't come out from Adam and come into Christ, that sin of Adam is still on you. You can't behave yourself out of it. There's no good thing you do to come out of it. Unless you are born and you come out of Adam. And now, if any man is in, you come into Christ. Because in Adam, death rules you. The Bible says, in Adam, all die. I don't know if you get what I'm teaching. Is that okay? So that's why you must be born. And you that you have been born again, you must understand the benefit and what has happened to you. That you are not in Adam. You are not in Adam at all. You are in Christ. And the sin of Adam does not rule you. The righteousness of God, Jesus, rules you. Praise the Lord. So what is our role? He said, put on the new man. How do you put on the new man? No, he's talking to Christians. New man. How do you put it on? Is this like this? Huh? Is it physical? So how do you put it on? Let's read it now. Ephesians 4, 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew what? Your thoughts and attitude. And be renewed in the spirit of what? Of your mind. You have to begin to think along these lines of these things. The Bible said, don't neglect them. Which we do. And when we neglect them, we wonder why sin is reigning over us. Because the help God sent, we think it's not important. As if to say we have answered to them ourselves. Which we do. Don't even think in terms of, it doesn't even make any meaning to us. So we zoom out and say, I want to be good. Listen, when the scripture says, be ye holy, what he's saying is pursuit. Be in pursuit. That's all. How do you be in pursuit? It is through these things that Christ what? Has done. It's through these things. Because Christ is the way. It's the route you follow. It's not that route. It's the route you follow. So he said, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Then put on the new nature. Created to be like God, truly righteous, and then holy. So if you want to put it on, you first of all have to put it on where? In your thinking. As a man think it. So Paul put it on. Paul really put it on. Look at it there now. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Paul really put it on. 2 Corinthians 5:16. So we have stopped evaluating others from human what? At one time we thought of Christ merely from human, but how differently we know him now. It's a new game. Paul said, my mind has been changed. So verse 17, Paul, what did your mind change like? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life. You see, Paul has not put on the thing. Because out of the issues of your life come. So for you to live that new life, you first of all put it on here. Paul said, we have stopped evaluating people after the natural man. No. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. So old things have, he said, me too, so I'm a new creation. So he began to see himself as a new man. And what he was seeing was what he was transforming into. What you see, the Spirit of God, what? Transforms into that. That's what he sees. He said, I used to think naturally. He said, I don't do that again. I realized that if any man is in Christ, all things have passed. So he said, let the Spirit renew your thinking with these truths. So that you know that what Christ did for you is for real. I woke up, I was just thanking God, worshiping God for, you know, all the benefits I have. You can't explain all this. All of a sudden, I had an understanding. And the Lord said to me, no, by worshiping me, you're really thanking me for everything that a man needs to have. It's in me. He said, healing, deliverance, everything. So have you realized that the more you thank me about them, the more you understand them? like you're having a conversation, yet you're talking. Have you had that experience? You are talking, but you are having... Yeah. He said, have you realized the more you talk about it, the more you thank me for it, the more you understand them, the more it's working in your life? He said, because you are preaching to yourself when you are talking. And you are releasing the power in the world when you are talking. So I can have material to work in your life. Praise the Lord. If I want that, I finish praying and I hadn't begun to praise God for all the benefits I have in Christ. I had a nudging inside of me like somebody was pushing me. Come on. Open your mouth. Come on. And I waited to, the thing was still there. Come on. It's like somebody was urging me. Come on. Open your mouth. It's a profession. Come on. And I started, and the thing started flowing. Well, if you come here on Thursday, we'll continue. We're going to talk about save from the power of Satan. It's very interesting. After this one, you will never talk of Satan, bother about Satan. The man will bother about you. I'm telling you, Satan will what? Bother about you. He'll be so worried if he sees you. If you show up anywhere, he will be so worried. Our pastor told me how his landlord threw him out. And they said, what did I do? He said, since you came, all our juju is no more working. He said, you must pack and leave this house. Say, leave us. Say, you pray too much. Go, go, go. I said, you know, I had the same experience. I said, the whole of Landlords Association in Ajegunle had a meeting to kill me. And I didn't know. And they sent a woman to kill me. And the woman came and sat in front. I still remember it like yesterday. Sat in front. And then we started to worship God. We just started to worship God. She ran. I said something is wrong. So I told them to pursue her. So all these, energetic youths that God gave their life to Christ newly, looking for what to do, they went after the woman. They ran after her, grabbed her. They took her into one room. And I came there and I said, hey, what is the problem? He said, I told them, I can't do it. I told them, oh, I cannot do it. I said, who are they? He said, the Landlords Association here have been trying to kill you. I said, really? So what did I do? They said, since you came here, they are juju no more. I'm not kidding you. And I said, so, what? He said, they've been contacting Babalawos to kill you, but each of them will say, we can't. I said, so how did they convince you? I said, I told them I can't. But, you know, I said, let me try. I said, okay, what did you come with to kill me? So she put her hand in the pocket and brought her juju. I laughed. I said, your juju is so powerless, you are carrying him. I said, my own God is carrying me. Your own is so weak that you have to put it inside your bag, woman's bag to carry. I said, my own God is carrying me. I said, have you learned a lesson now? She was so afraid. She was petrified. She believed that I did something. There must be something this man has. She was so petrified. She was almost, it's like, can I get out of here? No matter assurances we gave her, she believed that this man must have done something. That is not ordinary. And she left. So what I'm telling you is, after Thursday, we learn about these things. Anywhere you show up, you don't have to bother about them. They will be bothering about you. If you sit down, they will change seat. Because they know that somebody who knows Christ is around. But those who know their God, they shall be what? Strong. And they shall do exploits. I told you how arm robbers came. My wife was pregnant with Unine. She was pregnant like this. And arm robbers came and pressed my door. And we live at an isolated place. And I was coming, 3 a.m. I was coming out to go and open the door. And she came out. He said, why are you going? I said, the people are ringing. He said, they're armed robbers. I said, what did they come to do? He said, I don't know, but I want to tell you one thing. And she said, this is true. You need to know Christ. He said, I want to tell you one thing. The scripture says, no evil shall come nigh thy dwelling. He said, I'm going to bed. God keeps his word. He said, I am going to sleep. No evil shall come nigh my dwelling. He said, that's what God said. And she went to bed. Ah, I said, this is a challenge. Man, she went to bed, walked away from me. Ah, and I was sweating. I said, okay, I'll do my own now. So I began to bind all those. My binding wasn't strong, but at least I was doing something. All of a sudden, I had them. Adamu, Adamu, see them, see them, see them. They ran, jumped through the door, they left. The following day, they came nearby and killed our neighbor. The same people. I'm telling you why you should be strong in the Lord. Because if you don't, there are the time you need this thing, you'll be confused. You'll be disorganized and be knocked out of place. And if they eat you like lunch, they eat you like breakfast, eat you like lunch, and take the basket home. I'm not kidding you. They came the following day, killed my neighbor. I'm like, man, these people are really serious. Which means if they found me that day, I won't be here. Praise the Lord. I want us to rise up. Pastor, can you?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http www.store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks, and remain blessed.